Hello and welcome. This is In the LOL. I'm your host, Dr. Sim Taylor. At In the LOL, we like to take a new look at an old book, and that book is the Bible. Today's lesson comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. We will start with the King James Version. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus has several parables and relatable stories as he is calling his disciples to worship. The chapter has similar stories in Matthew and Mark, and there are many miracles that Jesus completes at this time. The book of Luke says, "And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith, the old is better." So we know that when you apply scripture, you have to apply it correctly. And so there are many Bible scholars that say, you know, we try to apply scripture to modern day times and it's not appropriate. So what I say to you as a person who's looked into the Bible and you can see it for yourself, the Bible does speak to us in our modern day, but we have to apply the scripture appropriately. So this scripture is not talking about drinking and over drinking. It's not talking about fasting in particularly. There is a principle that Jesus is teaching and talking to the Pharisees about, and we understand that. But I do want to talk about what we see when we look at this scripture in the light of being Christians, but still trying to live in the old way. So when you look at Luke chapter 5, verses 35, and you talk about it from just a modern day word. So I'm going to look at the New Testament in modern English. And he gave them an illustration. Jesus said, "No one tears a piece from a new coat to patch up an old one. If he does, it ruins the new one, and the new piece does not match the old. Likewise, nobody puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will be split and the skins ruined. Now, no new wine must be put into old wineskins. Of course, nobody who has been drinking old wine will want the new at once. He is sure to say, the old is a good, sound wine." So when we apply these Christian principles, there are a couple of things that Jesus brings out that I think we can look at when we talk about being Christians and still trying to live in our old life. So I want to title this lesson, The New Wine. So as you also know that when Jesus talks through these stories, this particular one, he is talking to the Pharisees because they accuse his disciples of not fasting. And there are many words that I'm going to talk about here, but just know that, you know, as you take time to study the Bible, if you see something you don't know about, I don't know about fermenting and new wine and all those things, so I had to go and look it up. I try to make terms that seem hard or mysterious a little easier to understand. And I pray that you are a person that spends time in God's word. When you come up on a term, a parable, or an instance that's hard to understand, go and get a book. Go and get its commentary. Go and get something about the culture of the Jewish people. Get a concordance that tells you the Greek and Hebrew meanings of the word. Get tools that help you so you spend fruitful time in God's word. And when you have those tools, don't keep them to yourself. Share them with other people, okay? So again, I know these verses are about the answer to the Pharisees, but his teachings are an instruction to us about our life in Christ. Jesus often uses a parable to explain his point or his teaching. In our English language, these parables or stories that explain life lessons are usually one of three types. You can have a similitude, a parable, or an exemplary story, sometimes called an illustration. In this case, we have a similitude or simile. because Jesus uses the word saying, this is compared to that. Using the simile in the two parables that were drawn from contemporary culture, so anybody during that time, during that culture, they knew what Jesus was talking about. So they understood that new cloth had not shrunk. It's brand new. So that using new cloth to patch older clothing would result in a tear, as the older clothing had already shrunk, but the new clothing had not. And so as it begins to shrink, it causes a tear in the new clothing. Similarly, old wineskins had been stretched to the limit or became brittle as wine had fermented inside of them. Using those old wineskins again, therefore risk the possibility of those old wineskins bursting. So the parable would make sense to the people during that time because they knew the process of winemaking. They would know that when wine is new, it is in the process of fermenting. So it bubbles and expands. The old wineskins become brittle as wine ferments or bubbles and expands inside them. And as a result, using the old and stretched wineskins, again, when you put new wine that continues to stretch, that would risk the old wineskins to become burst, brittle. But the new wineskins are still pliable. They're still new. And a new wineskin would absorb the natural expansion and the slow aging of the wine. And so the hearers of the parable would understand that it is better to put new wine in new wineskins and that it's foolish to do the opposite. Bible scholars agree that the central focus of this parable is the description of changing circumstances, the mutual relationship of the old and new conditions. What happens when the old meets the new? Jesus and the new teachings about the Holy Spirit and following him and doing God's will. It did not fit in with the old model and lifestyle of the Pharisees, for they had principles and processes and step-by-step things that they put into their religion that people had to follow. But the new life in Christ is different than the old way that the Pharisees used to live. So when we talk about new versus old, I'll give you an example would be trying to place a steak into a bread toaster and trying to cook it, because you can't cook a steak with a bread toaster. It would be like using a slipper to hit a nail into a piece of wood. That's not going to be effective. Trying to live the new life in Christ, but still hang on to the old ways of living is like trying to use two opposite things to achieve a goal. So you're working with God and you're working in the church, but you're still lying and talking about people. But oh yeah, you're a Bible study teacher. You spread rumors and you gossip, but you're trying to be an evangelist in the church. You come to Bible studies, and just before you come, you just turned off that movie on Showtime or HBO that was not appropriate. So this is free advice for you, by the way. Let's just take a little break. Watching inappropriate movies with your children, like porn, horror movies, whatever it may be, I have heard from parents who say, oh, their child is scared and they have bad dreams. Well, I wonder why. Well, if you are watching movies that are inappropriate, that just might be the reason why. All right, back to our sermon. So other examples would be you are out there sleeping around being a Jezebel or a David in your relationships, and you are still trying to come into the church and live that same kind of way, talking to people and trying to get your groove on, as they say. But having inappropriate relationships in the church or out of the church, that does not gel, and it's not walking in step with God. What causes someone who has tasted the new to go back to the old? Luke explains it this way. He says, well, the old wine just tastes better. It's familiar. You know what you're getting. Just like those microorganisms Louis Pasteur discovered, organisms that cannot be seen with the naked eye, the spirit of evil can seep into our life because the new is challenging. The disciples following Jesus, they weren't sure what would happen from day to day. Sometimes their lives were in danger. And the Bible talks in Revelations, there will be challenges that we as the followers of Christ, we will face. And there'll be challenging times ahead. But the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. So why don't you see positive change in your life? Let's go back to the lesson. What did we say about fermentation? There's expanding and contracting. What happens is that you have periods where things are getting bigger and better, but then you have times when things feel like they're closing in on you. Expanding and contracting, that's what the wineskin did when it had the wrong kind of wine in it. What did we say about the new patch on the old piece of clothing? The old clothing would get all turned up and torn up, but the new patch would stretch. And we get all stretched out, just as those garments would. We come not useful to wear or not useful for the work of God. So in our life, what do we see? We see holes in our lifestyle where things just fall through and get all messed up. Problems that stretch us out and stress us out. They get bigger and bigger. And so the thing that God put in you, it's no longer useful. The gift that God gave you, it's not as effective. And people see how your life has changed from being that go-getter, all-in-out Christian when you first started in Christ to being someone where things just slip through the holes, slip through the cracks, lots of stretch, not useful to what God originally wanted you to do. So in closing, let me talk about the three things I see Jesus is saying that we can apply to our modern day lifestyle. So as I look at those two parables, I see him saying, one, when you mix the old and the new, it ruins you. Two, it ruins what you want to share or pour out. It's not as effective. And here is where I put my spin on it, where I say, three, it ruins the atmosphere. So you, the old wineskin, you're shattered, you're torn apart, you're under pressure, you're trying to join yourself with the new. And secondly, the new wine that you have shared or poured out, it doesn't taste right. It's not as effective. It's in the wrong container. Old piece of cloth, it was torn apart. You're under pressure trying to join yourself with this new piece of cloth. The patch that would have stopped holes from being in your clothing, well, it was ripped apart. And so now, it's not effective anymore. The new piece of material was stretched beyond capability. It's not as effective. The atmosphere has now changed. The holes, they're now in this garment. Things can slip in and out. And now there are things that are undesirable that are happening. It's no longer useful for the original intent. So in my mind, I see that Jesus says, when you mix the old with the new, it ruins you, first of all. You have crept back into the old ways of old lifestyle, and God can't use you. B, it ruins what you want to do, for the wine is spilt, the patch is ripped apart. So the tool or its purpose is not effective or powerful. And lastly, when you mix the old with the new, it ruins the atmosphere, your relationship with God, your relationship with people. Things now become uncovered, and everybody can see the wrongs, the death, the slow tearing apart of your spiritual lifestyle. One thing I hope you get out of this lesson, especially if you're trying to serve God, your ministry will not be able to achieve the intent or purpose that God would want you to achieve when you try to mix that old lifestyle with a new lifestyle in Christ. When you resort back to the old ways of life, the gossiping, the lying, the sexual misconduct, whatever it may be. Now you are shattered. You're torn apart. A part of you who is in Christ is effective. That spiritual gift that God has given you. God says he doesn't take away the gift, but it's not as effective as it used to be. Well, think about it. When you are effective, when you are torn apart, your faith is effective. And so you don't have the faith to do the things God has called you to do. So what happens when you pray after you have sinned? The sin weighs on you and it affects your prayer. It affects the relationship, the atmosphere. What happens when you have not studied your Bible lesson and you try to fake it? You will not be an effective teacher. Your words will not change hearts. What happens when you spent the night out partying and maybe drinking and then try to come and serve in the church the next day? It doesn't work. You're not effective. What happens when you've talked negatively about someone or gossiped about someone? Or when you insulted your husband or wife to impress your friends? These things you do. And James says in James 1 and 26, if any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and one's religion is useless. James 1 and 26. So what's the answer? We all face these times in our lives that are challenging. And so as Christians, how do we stay on the path? So there are many scriptures we could go to, but let's stay in chapter 5 so that as you study the lessons, you can get something from this chapter beyond what the norm is. So one of the things Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, you know, when you lose the bridegroom, then it'll be time to fast. Jesus shows in his life that prayer is so important. And he shows that fasting is important. And so when we get to these challenging times in our life, it is appropriate for us to go in deeper time of prayer instead of watching that movie that you thought was so fun and funny, instead of listening to some Beyonce music or some other type of music. Take time to pray. Get on your knees. Get in a spot that's quiet and have a prayer time with God and let God know the challenges you're facing. It's not that he doesn't know, but when you release that into the atmosphere and then you put your sincere heart before his altar, before his throne, he can help you change your life. Let's look at a couple of other things at the beginning of chapter 5. We'll stay with the modern English translation. I told you that Jesus was doing several miracles in that time. And so as he was talking to his disciples, he gave them instructions. So one of the most important things is you have the word of God. Follow the instructions. James says what? Control your tongue. You've got to control your tongue, but Jesus will help you do that. Pray for it. He'll help you control that tongue. So again, back to the beginning of chapter 5. And so the disciples are told by Jesus to push out a little further from the shore. Yeah, sometimes you've got to go into the deep water. Sometimes you've got to fast for 3 days or pray for 5 days. Yeah, sometimes you've got to do a little extra, do a little more. And we see that when the disciples pushed out from the shore, and then when they listened to the instructions of Jesus, their harvest was greater than they ever thought it could be. And Simon, realizing that even in the time of following Jesus and listening to him, so even if you're that Bible study teacher, you're following Jesus, but you know you still got sin in your life. You know you're still mixing the old with the new. So Simon Peter says in chapter 5 of Luke, and at the end of the 8th verse, he says, I'm a sinful man. So yes, even the disciples knew that they were not perfect. And so you, in your Christianity, you're not perfect. But what did they do? They followed him. And it says at the end of verse 11, so they brought the boats ashore, left everything, and followed him. Follow God. Follow Jesus. Yes, your life is not going to be perfect, but he's not here for perfect people. And that's what he told the Pharisees. You know, there's going to be a time for everything. And so when you face those challenging times in your life, it's time to push out a little deeper. It's time to pray a little harder. It might be time to fast a little more. Push out into the deep, but leave those things that are causing you to sin and to fall through the cracks and to all that pressure that's on you. Push out a little bit further. Leave everything. Follow Jesus. Also in chapter 5, there was a man who had leprosy. In verse 12, he asks Jesus, he cries out, and he says, you know, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand, placed it on the leper, saying, certainly, I want to be clean. Know that God has power to clean your life up. All he's doing is saying, you know, what do you want from me? Ask him to make you clean. Put it in your prayer life. Put it in your time of fasting. push out from the shore, go a little deeper in him. Ask him to make you clean. And he says, certainly, certainly, I want to make you clean. Be clean today. God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed the lesson today from Luke chapter 5, New Wine in Old Wineskins. If you would like to contact us, our email address is inthelightoflife@yahoo.com. Our address to contact us by mail is P.O. Box 255, Ripley, Tennessee, 38063. Be blessed in all that you do. This is Dr. Taylor. Thank you.